So we've been going through a series of the parables. Seems ages, but looking at the parable list, there's a lot more to go. And they're really good, aren't they? Just for shining a light into our lives the way that we are. Linda read us the parable of the net in Matthew 13. You know, the seven parables that Jesus told us in Matthew 13, and they give us like a full experience of the kingdom of God. They show us how it begins, how it grows, where there are obstacles to growth, how much we should value the kingdom. And today we're looking at the parable of the net. The parable of the net tells us how at the end times, when Jesus returns, God's judgment is played out. Well, we don't like judgments, do we? No. This, of course, is a warning parable. It's a loud call to everyone who hears not to reject Christ, but to make every effort to get into a relationship with Christ. We, of course, don't like these judgment passages in the Bible because they remind us that we are accountable to God for our sin. We don't often mention that word, do we? Our sin, the things that we do wrong, our thoughts, our actions, and our deeds. And we don't want to be accountable, do we, Steve?
No.
No. See, if John was here, it would have been John, but he's on holiday. While we may not like these passages, they are important for us to have them in the Bible. Because judgment is coming, whether we like it or whether we don't. But God, in his goodness, warns us about this coming judgment and tells us how we may escape. Of course, that's through Jesus Christ. So let's look at this parable together. There's only four verses, so we'll be finished by 1 o'clock. Linda read to us Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers and threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place will be weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Well, that's a great passage to have on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Have you gnashed your teeth lately? No. I do it quite often. It's called chuntering. Have you ever done chuntering? But there will be this great gnashing of teeth. It's a bit like the parable I did a few months ago, the sheep and the goats, the great separation. The good were given a welcome, my good and faithful servants. The bad, unfortunately, depart from me. I don't know you. So we have this idea that Jesus is telling us at his second coming, there's going to be some accountability, a judgment, where those who belong to Jesus will be separated from those who don't.
Wait a minute. Is that it?
Yep.
The end?
Yep.
So what now?
Nothing. It's the end.
But which group am I going to be in?
I'm very glad the stewards didn't grab Simon and throw him out of the church, because we have planned that. Hecklers. You know, Linda and I like to watch box sets on television, mostly because the adverts annoy me and I start chuntering all the way through them. We like the action and adventure stories, the good whodunits where you follow the clues. I like the ones where you see a car speeding towards a cliff, and just before the car goes over, the driver rolls out. I was going to do a roll, but I thought I might break a hip or something, so I best not do that. And as he slides towards the edge of the cliff, he grabs hold of a bush that's there, and he's hanging on the edge of a cliff. And then you get this screenshot that comes on 24 hours earlier. So the rest of the film or the TV program is spent showing you what happened in those last 24 hours before this ending scene makes sense. 24 hours earlier. So perhaps we need to go back in our lives a little in order that our ending makes sense. The first word of this parable gives us a clue. Again. So it's telling us that something came before. Matthew 13 starts with a parable of the sower, asking the question, which seed are you? It's a good question, isn't it? Which seed are you? On a path eaten by birds, on a rocky ground, unable to lay roots and grow, or choked by weeds, or in good soil, who grew and produced fruit? So, which seed this morning are you? Which seed are you? Then came the parable of the weeds. I like that parable. Where the enemy sowed weeds after the farmer had sown good seed. This is another separation parable. The weeds are gathered first and bound and burned in the fire, and then the good wheat is gathered into the barn. Question. Are you wheat or weed? Are you wheat or weed? Then comes the mustard seed, the smallest seed, but grows into a huge tree. The question is, are you reaching the potential that God sees in you? Then we have the two parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. What is it you value? Questions. Important questions. Who are you? Who are you? And where do you stand this morning? It's an important question, isn't it? Often we get wrapped up in the world and we come to church because what do we do on a Sunday, Steve? We go to church. Why are you here? You see, from Genesis to Revelation, we're encouraged to get to know God, to love Him, to commit to Him, to live lives that honor God, and to walk in a way that encourages others and supports others. And only looking to do good. I remember June the 30th, 1980. I sat in the pastor's front room, and he gave me a copy of The Missing Piece. It's a booklet. When I used to be a community pastor, I used to carry this around with me all the time. It's a brilliant book for talking to people. I wasn't the lovely person that I am today. Don't laugh. I was angry and bitter. I lashed out. I got drunk and lashed out again. I was on a destructive course filled with hate and anger. A different Mike than the one who wrote the book said to me, Jesus loves you. He wants you. Oh. You can have a new life. I thought, what a load of rubbish. Not what I thought, but I'm in church. But he sat quietly and prayed for me. How dare he? And I was flabbergasted. I started praying too. What on earth was going on? You see, that was my 24 hours earlier, where I connected with someone who loved me even though I was a bit of a pain, and loved me even though I did all the wrong things. It's a great verse in the Bible. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Not when you became good enough, Christ died for you. That was my 24 hours earlier. Ecclesiastes 12 says this. The words of the wise are like cattle prods. Ooh, painful but helpful. Their collected sales are like nail-studded sticks with which the shepherd drives the sheep. I'm glad I'm not a sheep. But, my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless. How much study wears you out? That's the whole story. Now here's my final conclusion. Fear God. Obey his commands. For this is everyone's duty. And God will judge for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. God will see everything we do, whether good or bad. It's frightening, that, isn't it? Do you know what? When Mum was alive, and I used to go home after school, she would know all the things that I had done in secret. I don't know how she knew, but she knew. Those are the course for the days of the slipper, for the things you did naughty. I'm glad to say I never got the slipper once. 248 times. Well, anyway, can we carry on? Micah 6 then, and I've shared this verse here before several times. It's one of my favourite passages. Micah 6 says, what can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before the God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires you to do. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Question. Have you had your 24 hours earlier? Have you got to the place where you realize the weeds are choking you? You're not growing and you fear being plucked out by the birds. Have you changed from being a weed in danger of being bound up and burnt to a wheat, a good seed being gathered in? Are you like the mustard seed, the smallest seed, but grows into a huge tree? Are you reaching your potential, the potential that God sees in you? And that's important. You know, I've come to realize, and I've had many jobs in my life, the potential isn't in your job, your career. The potential isn't in your bank account. The potential isn't in the car you drive. Your potential is in what God sees in you. And believe me, he sees something far different in you than you see in you. When you look in the mirror, I wonder what you see. Doubt, disappointment, fear. When God sees you, he sees something good. He sees something marvelous, because it cost him his life to make you a child of his. So he sees in you something that we don't see in ourselves. And what is it you really value? Your bank account, your position in your family? Or do you give it all up for something of greater value? Jesus. In old money, the important question is, have you made a commitment to Jesus? I thought about that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Do you know that one? I could sing it to you now, but that might not be a blessing. You see, we can, like the film, skip forward those 24 hours to the clifftop. Does the driver survive? Has something miraculous happened? A helicopter comes in and lowers a rope. Or he lets go and he's got, have you seen those body air suits that when you pull it, it's for people who work up in high towers and buildings, you pull it and an inflatable comes around you and you bounce to the ground. I'd love to have a go at that, wouldn't you?
Not sure.
Not sure. Well, I'd volunteer Steve first, obviously. What happens to the driver? For us, though, our ending scene isn't a cliffhanger, because the net has been cast. Remember Billy? Remember Billy? All Billy wanted to do was get to the fish pond. But he thought, still being mean and nasty and greedy and rude to older people. Now that's a... We shouldn't be doing that, should we? Oh, it's just me then. No, thank you. Thank you. I think... Oh, I'm going to be careful that the soapbox doesn't appear. I do feel that in our country, in our society today, we've lost a lot of respect. Haven't we? I remember going to school. It's good that my friend Pete isn't here, because he'd have said, when you went. Do you know what? My brother was younger than me, so he came after me, funny enough. And when he went to school, they said, oh, Darren Murray, are you related to Duncan? Oh, yes. Ah. So you won't want to do any lessons then? You're going to be a real pain? No, no, no. In fact, when he was sick and Dad put him to bed, he would climb out the window and go to school. I've lost myself where I was going now. Soapbox, yes. Yes, thank you, Steve. We've lost their respect. And when at school, I remember now, you wouldn't ever say anything to your teachers. You know, at all. But now, I would hate to be a teacher. I would hate to be a teacher. I read in the papers not so long ago, the school I used to go to in Tewkesbury, one of the teachers was stabbed by a pupil. We don't have respect for the police these days. Well, whatever your feelings about the police are, but we don't have respect for the police. I remember when I used to go scrumping. Now, scrumping is like this. You shoot over a wall into someone's garden. They've got lovely apple trees. And you borrow the apple trees and put them in your jumper and climb back over the wall to eat them later. It's called foraging. And the local policeman would catch me, often, grab me by the side of the neck, lump me round the side of the head, and drag me home and tell my dad, Andy, Duncan has been scrumping again. At which my dad would then say, how dare you hit my son? No, he didn't. He went, and dragged me back, and I had to clean everything up. We've lost respect for each other, haven't we? And more pervasive, I think, we lose respect for ourselves, don't we? We want to be somebody else. It would be better if I was somebody else. I had a friend, Paul. Oh, sorry, I've gone well off piece now, Matt, so that's the last slide, so that's all right. I had a friend, Paul, a bridge, and we were at London City Mission together, and I always wanted to be Paul, because going round on the doors, we used to do door to door, he always got into these places and sat with them, and it was brilliant. I always wanted to be Paul. And then one day Paul said to me, oh, Dunk, what? I've always wanted to be you. What? He said, you talk to people so naturally. Oh, I want to be you, Paul. Sometimes we want to be somebody else. Who are we? As I said before, The Missing Piece is a great book. Really great book. And in this book, it tells us the story of who we are. It tells us who we can be. It helps us to make that commitment that we've talked about, to trust Jesus for the first time. And more importantly, it tells us how to carry on in the next few days with a reading plan. Isn't it good? It doesn't just drop you in and leave you alone. It carries you on a little journey. And it may be that there's someone today that hasn't made that commitment. You haven't had your 24 hours. Well, come and see me and I'll give you one of these books. I won't harass you. You can just take the book with my thanks. Because, you know, when that net comes, like Billy, it's too late to change. Because we'll be judged on who we are in the net. 24 hours. Now for some, that will be long, 24 hours. And some, that'll be short. I'm 61 now. I know I look 20. You look at me and you think, wow, we've got Brad Pitt in our church. Or not. We found a few weeks ago that for one of our family members, their 24 hours ran out, tragically, on his way home from work. We don't know when our 24 hours will run out. Who are you? Father God, we want to thank you that you are a great God who give us these wonderful parables in order to give us opportunities to grow, opportunities to learn, opportunities to invite you into our lives, for you to help us and encourage us. Lord, there may be friends that we have who we look up to and we aspire to be like because there's just something about them. We thank you for those friends who show us through their actions what a life with Jesus is like. We thank you for these parables that make us question, what is it I value? That help us to question, where am I in the world? Help us to realize that you are a good, good God who loves us and cares for us and wants us to be part of his family. And we thank you for people like Mike Hensher who wrote this book that allows people to connect with you. May we, Lord, connect with you. It may be that we've already made that commitment, but perhaps things in our lives are growing cold and we've become distant. Perhaps life has just got in the way. We pray, Lord, that we can give that to you. We thank you that you are a good, good God. In your precious name, amen.